Exodus chapter 8. Okay? This is the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs, and the Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and in your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you and your people and all your servants.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord.' And Moses said to Pharaoh, 'The honor is yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, they may be left only in the Nile?' Then he said, 'Tomorrow,' and he said, 'May it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people, they will be left only in the Nile.' Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through the land of Egypt.' And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats to the land of Egypt. And the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.' But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out of the water, and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of insects on you and on your servants and on your people and your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of insects, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of insects will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall occur.' Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of insects into the house of Pharaoh and the house of his servants, the land that was laid waste because of the swarms of insects in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us.' And Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me.' Then Moses said, 'Behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of insects from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go." Amen. Okay, so this is the second plague that happens here, and if you've not been around the last few days, the plagues, they all actually are very significant, and I'm going to talk about the frogs and the gnats and the insects in a moment, and what that means to Egyptian culture, but this whole thing is a power play that's at work. So the frogs come into the land. Now, being part of the Nile and being a resident around there, frogs are very common. So you would see frogs all the time. In any river that you go to, I know we're all city people, but if you ever gone through it, you're going to see frogs. And frogs are very present or everywhere around. And so it was not an uncommon sight, But the magnitude and the multitude of frogs becomes quite alarming. And the word of the Lord here, God, it makes it quite clear that the frogs are going to basically, when it says they're going to be in your bed mats and your bed rolls and then in your cooking instruments, they're going to basically be attacking right at your livelihood. In other words, you're not going to be able to sleep. You're not going to be able to get any rest because frogs are all over the place. And the second part is you're not going to be able to eat any food. They're going to be all over your food. I mean, it's going to be a massive appearing of these frogs, and it's so alarming. Obviously, it's not written in the text, but most likely in these order events, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and say, hey, let my people go or this is going to happen. It's not in this narrative, but Pharaoh says no. And they said, okay. So they stretch out their hand and frogs come up out of everywhere. I mean, they're all over the place. Now, remember, it's a power play at work. So the Egyptians can do the same thing. And they say here in verse 7, the magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So again, power play. God brings frogs, and the Egyptians say, we can do that too, man. And so they bring up frogs. Obviously, it's smaller magnitude. They make frogs appear out of the ground. And so, you know, something happens here. It's a very occultic kind of stuff. So frogs appear, but notice the miracle, right, is not so much making frogs appear. What should concern Pharaoh is his arts, his magicians making frogs disappear, okay? But notice that never happens in this whole thing. Even the water be turned into blood or whatnot, and I mean, that would have been for the magicians to actually turn it back, but they're unable to do so. I know that if I recall the Ten Commandments, there was a little bit thing happening that's not really in the Bible, okay? You know, if I remember correctly, in Charlton Heston's movie, they turn the blood, and then the magicians do something, and it turns white again, and then but it turns bloody again. There's nowhere in that text. That's just a Hollywood kind of thing. So he continues on. Now, here's a big question. Why frogs? Out of all the insects, why frogs? Well, frogs would be very well known. But frogs, you got to understand, God is actually pinpointing objects of deity in Egyptian culture. So if you ever look at Egypt and whatnot, frogs, it's actually a god. His name is Phyta. It's very hard to pronounce. I'm winging in here. But it's P-Y-T-A, Pita maybe, or something like that. But these were the gods that they worship. And there was a man or whatnot that had the head of a frog. I mean, we're obviously very familiar with the Sphinx, which is a man with the head of a, what is that, a wolf or a lion or something? And I've been there three times. What is it? Is it a man's head? You know what I mean, right? You know, that thing in front of the pyramid? And so, yeah, man. Okay, I can brain fart right now. So basically, these pictures were quite common, or these deities, these gods were quite common, and so God is really hitting home to this battle against their gods. And so now, it's almost, you can see kind of the, I don't want to use the word, the comedy of God in a way, but it's like, oh, you worship frogs? All right, I'm going to give you a lot of frogs, right? Later on, we get the gnats, or I'm sorry, the gnats. This is translated as the lice that come in, and you could imagine what kind of pestilence. It's also something that was worshipped in Egypt in this regard. And then the next plague. Well, okay, before I get ahead of myself. So the frogs come. God says, okay. Or Pharaoh says, okay, you know, can you get rid of these things? If you get rid of these things, I'll let the people go. And sure enough, Moses says, well, that's for you to say. That's your honor to say that. He says, when do you want it to happen? Because remember, it's a power play. God is proving through Moses and Aaron that he is not just one of the gods among a myriad of gods. He is the God. He is the God, not just of Israel, but over all creation, over everything. He is the main cat, you know, in essence. Even though I can't say cat because they worship cats too. He's the main deity over all. And so he's relaying that to these people. And so this in this power play, and he says, okay, so God is upping his game. You say the moment these things go away, and it's going to be done. And what does he say? He says, tomorrow. And then the next day, as according to the word of the Lord. And the frogs just die on the spot. I mean, what a crazy. So much so that they have to go shovel in, you know, and take it out. And they say it becomes such a foul stench. It reminds me, do you remember when the earthquakes were happening in China? And do you guys remember seeing the news? And in one particular province, all the rats that were in the mountains because the earthquake came down to the village. It was crazy. And they were literally taking shovels and live rats, and they were shoveling rats into trucks because, I mean, it was just a swarm. And, you know, a lot of people were thinking, oh, is this like biblical Armageddon and prophecies happening and rats and all this stuff? No, it's just there's just a lot of rats in China that decided to come down from the mountain. But I kind of remember seeing that picture, and it's like it reminds me of this picture. Just everywhere, they're just shoveling dead frogs, you know, all over the place. That's how many there were. But as Pharaoh does, he doesn't let the people go. I'm gonna get back to this in a moment, okay? Then verse 16, so he doesn't do it, so the next plague, number three, comes. And strike the dust of the earth that it may become gnats in the land of Egypt. I mean, talk about creative miracle. And we shouldn't be so surprised by this. You know what I mean? That God turns dust into lice, into these gnats. Some other translations actually say mosquitoes. And so you can imagine what a horrible, I mean, that to me, that would be the worst of all of these. To just be bombarded by mosquitoes. Last week, Jackie, Sandra, and I went to go see this piece of land that actually we're in kind of talks. They might give it to SP. It's basically a boathouse in Titam. And, oh, my goodness, man, it was like mosquito heaven. And it was like mosquito restaurant. We were eaten up alive. I still have so many bites. Sandra was actually the worst. And to me, like that, the whole mosquito thing would probably be the worst. You know, I mean, if you want to torture me, throw me in a room full of mosquitoes, right? I mean, but that's exactly what happens here. And the calamity comes over and over again. And it's also something that's, again, worshipped in Egypt. And so they strike them. Now a shift begins to happen here, okay? Now you see the magicians start getting scared. So Pharaoh is unmoved, and the Egyptians try to also create gnats. I mean, now you're talking about creating from dust into these lice or these mosquitoes. I mean, that's not so hard for God. I mean, God made human beings out of the dust of the ground. I mean, that's crazy. You know what I mean? If you go outside and you think about the dust and you know, just the mud, he formed us out of that, creating a gnat, a simple, you know, organism, species out of dust is nothing to God. And so he does this, but they couldn't do it. In verse 18, the magicians tried, but they could not bring forth gnats. And the gnats, the mosquitoes are on man, and they're biting everybody. I mean, what a horrible condition. And look what the magicians said. They say something very prophetic, very profound. He says, magician said to Pharaoh, this is verse 19, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. Later on, Luke will be using the same imagery. Actually, Psalm will actually use the same imagery, and they'll talk about, in Luke, this idea of the finger of God will really be another way of saying the Holy Spirit in Lucan theology. By the way, this summer, I'm teaching a class. We're actually doing summer school this year, this summer. I think announcements went out last week, and so we'll do more and more. But I'm teaching a class on Luke and Acts. I'm going through the theology, the themes, mainly dealing with the charismatic theology of St. Luke in Luke and Acts. And so that'll be Tuesday nights. Wednesday night, Larry is teaching a 7 or 8 week class on spiritual warfare. And then Matthew Pine will be leading Thursday night. He'll be teaching a class on eschatology. the end times. And so you can sign up for one of them. You can sign up for all of them. But there's book reports. You have to read. It's not a seminary kind of class, but we want seminary kind of discipline. Do you know what I mean? We're not seminary professors by any means. And so we're not trying to say that we are or anything like that, but it's going to be very heady kind of stuff. But we want a kind of a seminary kind of discipline and, you know, just a few book reports. And this one you actually have to pay to get into class. And you can actually earn credits and get a diploma. It won't be recognized anywhere in the world except for Solomon's Porch and heaven. Very important. And heaven as well. But... So just so you know, we're trying to create a learning system, a basically spiritual formation in this regard. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're kicking off this summer with that. So you can come. But dealing with, you know, because I'm talking about Luke, in Luke 11:12, he says, Jesus says, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so Luke, and through the rest of the scriptures, the finger of God is an analogy, a symbol of the Holy Spirit or God's power working in that regard. And so the magicians, man, these guys are prophetic. You know what I mean? Every occultic person has some sense of God in them. It's perverted and twisted, but there is some essence of spirituality, and they caught on to the true one. It says, hey, Pharaoh, we're dealing with something so much more powerful than what we are having here. This is the finger of God. If you want to study more, Psalm 8:3 derives the same kind of language and thinking, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord said. Again, it's not the cause, but it's a result. His heart is a result. His hardened heart is a result. It's not the cause of it. God didn't cause it, but it's a result of all this happening. So, okay, he says, all right, go to Moses the next day and say to him, if you don't let my people go, remember, he's reneged a couple times already now, Pharaoh has, let my people go. If you don't go, I'm going to send insects on all the land. Now, the previous plagues before, everyone was affected. The Nile, everyone was affected. The frogs, everyone was affected. Now, the mosquitoes, again, okay, I have to say this. That's what you call an argument from silence. And it doesn't say that it was or it wasn't, but we can make some kind of logical conclusion because now God is saying that these insects are going to come, but they're not going to touch the people of Israel. They're only going to touch Egypt in this particular now, which we can make a conclusion that the other things maybe went everywhere. We don't know, okay? So I need to preface and qualify that by saying the frogs could have just only hit the Egyptians and the mosquitoes as well. We don't know, but according to what God is saying in this next in this verse, most likely that it was everywhere, but now we have isolated. So talk about a miracle, man. I mean, a miracle upon miracle. Now, insects come upon the land of Egypt. Now, most, the insects, we don't know exactly what they were, but most scholars believe these insects were beetles, okay? And so these, another form of worship in the Egyptian culture. They love these beetles. They, you know, colorful and whatnot. And so, again, God is saying, all right, you know, do you want to worship these beetles? I'm going to give you a whole bunch of them to worship. And they come and just bombard the land with all kinds of stuff. So, in other words, God is not just randomly picking certain things. God has a strategy behind this whole thing. And remember, the background to this, it's power play. The Egyptians feel like their gods are the best gods. Remember going all the way back to chapter 7? Who is this God of the Israel that should tell me what to do? You know, not that he heard about this God of Israel, of the Hebrews, but he just doesn't respect the God of the Hebrews because the Hebrews are slaves. They're lowly people in this land. And so this power play is at work, and so now the insects come, and he just bombards the land with these insects, and they just can't handle it. It's going all over the place, and so then Pharaoh finally says, okay, you guys go. But not leave, right? You guys go and do your sacrifices. You guys go and do what you need to do. But only do it inside of the land. And Moses says, we can't do that. What they believe and the sacrifice rituals that they do is an abomination to the Egyptians. If they see that, they will stone them. You know, the sacrifice of killing animals and all that kind of stuff, it's an abomination to the Egyptians. That's not the way they worship. And so they said, no, we can't do it here in Egypt. And so they make this kind of plan together. Okay, go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And again, Pharaoh reneges on his commitment that he does. Now, let's go back to that this moment. Let's go back to verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Now, look at this, and this is where I want to make a conclusion for us in prayer this morning, okay? Repentance, okay? Repentance without follow-up, right? Repentance without following up on that repentance could lead to apathy. It could lead to actually being not full repentance. The idea of repentance is, let me take one step back. Sin, by nature, sin is not necessarily wrongdoing. Okay? You got to understand that sin, the biblical definition is missing the mark. Just think of like a bow and arrow. Sin is, there's a mark that you want to hit and you miss the mark. So sin is not necessarily wrongdoing. Because there could be good things that you don't do or that you do that could be sin. In other words, let me for my own life, okay, I'll give you one example. Basketball is a very good thing, okay? I can't think of a better thing in this world sometimes. Basketball is a very good thing. Now, if basketball now is getting in the way of my devotion to God, in other words, I am literally eat, sleep, and drinking basketball. And I'll be honest, there was probably about a 3 or 4 month period in my life while I was here in Hong Kong that was true. Right? I mean, you guys probably didn't know that. Right? But it's my own personal. I mean, there was a point where I was just so consumed with basketball, and I was playing on 4 different teams. That was what I looked forward to more than anything else, more than preaching, more than going to church, more than my wife, only for a very short period of time. But I'm just being honest. And God really had to say, hey, what's going on here? Because it's a heart issue. And so basketball being a very good thing, but I was missing the mark. You know what I mean? And so it's not necessarily wrongdoing in this regard. Because another way of saying is, God says if you know what's right and you don't do it, then that's also sin. So sins of omission, sins of commission, and so there's all these things. So we don't want to get into just this idea of wrongdoing. It's actually bigger than that. Repentance, in that same regard, is not just feeling sorry. That's just remorse. Repentance, the word is turning around, okay? Repentance is literally, this is what it means. I was going this way, I repented, and now I'm going this way. It's complete turnaround, and there's an action, there's a follow-up that's there. What is happening with Pharaoh is he's not doing that. He's saying one thing, okay, you can go, but he's not following up on it. And as a result, it's not repentance. It's not obedience. I mean, it's all different kinds of things. So I want to draw from this idea of repentance for us today in terms of our prayer time and a kind of download from God. You may be sorry for what you've done, okay? And that's great. The Bible talks about having a little bit of guilt is good for you, right? Having some sorrow, because if it leads you to repentance, and that may be the source, even getting caught. I know in our justice system, some people are sorry because of what they did, and when we say that, that would be what we call repentance, but some people are sorry they got caught. We've seen that all the time, right? And you could tell, sometimes you could really tell the difference. Some people are sad because they're really sorry that they hurt people. you know, Bernie Madoff stole money from people. He's so broken up about that. Or Bernie Madoff is sorry that he got caught with by doing all these things. And so we can see the difference. Repentance, when we say we're sorry, repentance is not just you feel sorry. Either you got caught or you hurt people or whatever the case may be. But it's an action. It's actually turning around from that altogether. And so confession is a part of that. But it's returning in this regard. And so there's a follow-up to the repentance. A lot of people say, and we say this a lot to God, God, if I do, you know, if you do this for me, I'm going to do this for you, kind of thing and stuff. And most people don't do that. I mean, I have a handful of friends that I was praying for them when they were trying to get into medical school. And I mean, really, I was praying like crazy. Oh, Lord, you know, his grades were not very good, but he wanted to go to med school. God, please have mercy. And the dude got into med school, right, by the grace of God. And in our conversations, Sam, man, when I graduate, I'm going to help the poor. You know, I'm going to go to Nicaragua. And you know, that was kind of the hot spot back in the States back in those days. You know, I'm going to go to the DR, you know, Dominican Republic. I'm going to help people. I'm going to do so many missions, you know, and all these kind of things, you know, because I know God brought me to med school and whatnot. Well, I saw these guys a couple years ago. I said, hey, man, how are those mission trips going? Huh? What mission trips? Oh, aren't you? Huh? No, man, I got my Mercedes-Benz, and I got my big house now, and yeah, you know what I'm getting at, right? I was so disappointed. I was like, sucker, you know. But it's okay, because kind of like you're going to get your own in this way. You reap what you sow. Kind of, I didn't say that to them. Yeah, they're still friends of mine and things, but, you know, it's like very, very, very disappointing in that way. I wonder, and in this regard, I was talking about Pharaoh, I wonder how many promises we made to God or how many confessions that we didn't return. You guys know what I mean? And that's really Pharaoh's deal. That's his problem. His heart is so messed up that all he sees is the temporal. Oh, right? The water is back to normal? I don't owe God anything. Oh, right? The mosquitoes are gone? I don't owe God anything. Oh, the frogs are gone. Hey, everything is cool. He just looks very temporally. And he says, oh, the situation is good. Oh, I don't have to. This is what we call fair weather Christians. And there's a lot of them in this world, friends. There's a lot of them. When it's tough, God, I'll do, you know, and then everything's going well. Who's God? You know, church? Why do I have to go to church? Right? But my mom's saying, oh, God, Lord, ah! And then as soon as mom's okay, Jesus, huh? You know, who are you? That's very Pharaoh-like, right? I was trying to create a new word, but I'm not creative enough this morning. But that's Pharaoh-ish, you know, I don't know. It doesn't work, right? That's Pharaoh-like. It's the heart of Pharaoh. And I speak for myself. I have a heart of Pharaoh, all right? Let's just be honest. I'm fickle, right? I am prone to temporalness so much that when everything goes well, there's no longer that deep dependency on God. And I want to change that. And I hope you do as well, right? And so maybe God's speaking to you on an issue of repentance, or maybe you set a promise to God. God, if you give me this job, I'm going to start a Bible study in my work. I don't know, right? Or something to that regard. Or God, if you give me this wife, you know, this person, she doesn't like me right now, but if you make her like me, God, I'm going to, you know, do all these things. I say that because I actually prayed that prayer over my wife here, right? I had to repent later on because that's the manipulation. And so, but it's this idea, and we, you know, and then everything is okay, and then we forgot about, but just what we said to the Lord. And so let's close our eyes today and let the Holy Spirit speak to you in a really point-blank question, okay? Do you see anything of Pharaoh inside your own heart? Reneging on promises, just focusing on the temporal, and forgetting all of his benefits. I love the psalmist when he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." In other words, he was saying, don't forget what he's done for you. You know, even when we're serving, you know, people get burnt out and we start complaining about a lot of stuff. You know why? Because you forgot what God did for you. You forgot that he saved you, that you were nothing before you met Jesus. And now you think you're something. So you want applause. You want recognition. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But it's a hard thing. Because when we first started this whole thing, we said, God, I just want to serve you. And now other things get in the way. You guys know what I'm saying, right? So, is there anything of Pharaoh that's inside your heart? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning as Jeff leads us in a song.
You are worthy of our praise. my heart will sing how great is our God, and how great is our God. Come sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Well, let's just go before the Lord this morning and just talk to Him about the ways that we are like Pharaoh in our heart. Maybe God's convicting you that you set a promise to Him and you kind of lost sight of that promise. And I guess the best thing to say is just make it right. Follow up. You see, when we repent or when we say things and we don't follow up, it will lead to apathy. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Give yourself to the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends that are battling illness and sickness. If I could just alert you to a few of the newer slides and things that are happening. Continue to pray for David Tsuh. Like I said, he's going through chemotherapy now. Pray for also for Marcus's mom. She has her surgery today. For her cancer in the uterus wall. And let's really ask the Lord to bless the doctors and just really give them great skill, and there'll be a really good report from this. And actually, Marcus is here, so if you guys want to go and just lay hands on him and you know, pray for him and his family, you know, I welcome you to do that as well. And so let's pray. Let's cover our friends, and particularly Marcus's mom today, for her surgery. Yeah? Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. You guys can just keep ministering to Marcus. That's fine. Let's pray for our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that the Lord would show up and bring salvation to these households. Let's lift up. Pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's working through each of their lives and healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision through their lives and open doors. And at this time, as they look and search, a really wise use of time. Let's lift up. Go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Cambodia today. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley. Let's ask for God's blessing with them. They'll be, I think Grace is here already, and Ashley should be on her way soon. They're here already? They're both here, and as well as the leaders of Bloom are actually coming to the retreat as well. They're our guests at our retreat. So Ruth and Murray, so pray for them to just really enjoy their time and really encounter God at the retreat. Pray for Pastor O, V2R, and Pastor Tang at New Life Church. And let's pray for our mission endeavors through Cambodia and our trips that are going this summer there. But also just lift up Cambodia and pray for Holy Spirit to breathe His wind over this land. Let's pray for the board, each of the members, myself, Lisa, Janie, Kiwon, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Mon, who's the secretary. Let's ask God to really use the board, give us wisdom, help us to really follow God's heart more than anything else, and we really lay forth God's agenda instead of our own. And so let's just pray for the board and their family. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and for barista. Let's pray that our church would be even more friendly. You know, I know we get our hard knocks every once in a while. Let's pray that we would go beyond our own little friendships and really be more welcoming, especially to guests and newcomers. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit that the atmosphere would continue to grow in this area. Let's pray for these ministries to really lead the charge in that way. So let's pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's ask God for our new building and a special donor as the Lord would provide. Again, we're not depending on anyone. We're depending on God. But this is just a prophetic word that we receive. Incidentally, I guess some good praise report as we've been praying about these things. You know, we secured the 9th floor. And so the church is going to expand a bit. And so we're probably going to, in a few months, so we're going to renovate and so there'll be more space for mostly primarily the children. And so really thank God for that. But let's continue to pray that God will open up and release a new building for us. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Wednesday night's always our big house church night, our biggest. Causeway Bay Island, Robin Hood Elements, Happy Valley, EastEnders, and Robbie West and Sha Tin. Let's pray for the presence of God be upon each of the gatherings, that people would really prepare well for the retreat coming up, and there'll be a lot of excitement, a lot of prayer, and a lot of meeting with God, even tonight. Let's cover. Lastly, let's just pray for the retreat. A few days coming up. Let's pray for our Friday night service, which is actually open to everyone, even people who are not going to the retreat. Let's pray for a powerful start, a powerful encounter. Pray for Pastor Robinson. He'll be here tomorrow night. Pray Juanita's flying in tonight at 7, so pray for her to come safely here. Let's just really ask the Lord to bless all of our people, free up people's schedules, cover all the logistics, all the flights of people coming in from Singapore and Beijing and from Seoul. Let's just really pray for God's hand to be with us, that we really meet with Him. Let's look cover. Thank you this morning, God. We thank you for the story. God, we recognize, God, that there are so many parts of our own heart, God, that are also like Pharaoh's heart. Lord, we are many times very fickle, God. We are many times very short-sighted, God. Many times very forgetful of who you are and what you've done in our lives. And as a result, God, we've not followed through. Lord, we've not repented. We've confessed, but we've not returned. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord. And so thank you, God. Watch over us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Just as a FYI, there is no early morning prayer on Saturday, okay? Because we're going to be hitting the ferry by that time, so just keep that on the radar.